This is Victrios.
Love Unleashed this morning. Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. And now we'll start reading from verse 28. Luke 23 from verse 28. If you want to title what I'm talking about this morning, you can call it When Love Hurts. When love hurts. Somebody will say, wow, I didn't know love used to hurt. Maybe you've not really experienced too much of love, because it's like it comes with a package. When love hurts. I know some married people will say, well, I know that one. I know that one, yeah. Or somebody that has siblings will say, ah, come on, talk to me about that. Yeah, my sister, my brother, they did something that really hurt me. Or my boss said something that hurt me badly. All right, let's see what the Bible says this morning. Luke 23 and 28. The Bible says, but Jesus turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. 29. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never give suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountain, fall on us, and the hills cover us. For if they do these things in green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors, or two other people about to be killed, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, and one on the right hand and one on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. One of the statements that, you know, I've been having in my self-talk, my head talk, I hope you also have that. Sometimes you talk to yourself. You have conversation with yourself. And one line that has been frequent in my mind recently is that stop taking yourself serious. I tell myself that. Because sometimes, you know, as human beings, we value ourselves too much. Are you talking to me like that? Is that me you are referring to? Are you serious? You know, so we can sometimes over make ourselves bigger than what we are. We think some things are beneath us. We think some things, I mean, how can you? Do you know how many degrees I have? Do you know who I am? Do you know who is talking to you? My name is Pastor E. Amen. So sometimes I think God will just use that line to say, yeah, excuse me, you are taking yourself too serious. Calm down. It's okay. You are not that. You are important, but you are not that of a big deal. Now, the guy in this story is not like that. This is Jesus himself. This is the Son of the living God. This is God himself. So it's a big deal. It's not as if he's thinking that it's a big deal. It's not as if he's making it. He is a big deal. He's God. And the events that happened in this last few minutes of Jesus' life was like the worst thing that can happen. This is the same Jesus who the Bible records for us in John chapter 3 and verse 16, that God so loved the world that God sent his only begotten Son to the world, that whosoever believes in him should not perish and have everlasting. So the fact that Jesus came here on earth is a show of love. And you would have expected that the people that he has come to show this love or this great sacrifice, those people will at least acknowledge and know it a little bit. Yes, Jesus was supposed to come and die. That was his mission. But did he have to die this way? Did he have to die with thieves? Did he have to die with people that were condemned criminals and thieves? And not only that, were they going to kill thieves the day they were going to execute him? They put him in their middle, meaning that, look, you are the chief of all those people. So this guy, this Jesus is a big deal, but he has been treated so badly. He has been treated like trash. He has been treated, you know, uselessly. And I know there are people here and say, yes, that's true. He has been treated like that. Why would they have treated him like that? But do you know the truth of the matter? We have not changed. We have not changed. We are not putting him on the cross, the tree cross, like they did that time. But we are still doing that to him today, because there are so many things that we do and don't do that is still giving the same effect. And then I was surprised that Jesus now got to the last part of this this passage that we read in verse 34. And the Bible said, Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. Are you kidding me? They don't know what they are doing. They didn't. This is not like mistake killing. Because remember that this whole killing started with a trial, mock trial, one phony trial that they had already made up their mind what was going to happen. They were going to kill Jesus anyway. In fact, because Pilate now thought that this was not right, he now said, you know what, let me make an exchange. If you want to kill anybody, if you think today is a killing day or this isn't a killing, can we make an exchange? Can I say that, okay, I will kill this bad guy, Barabbas, and I will free Jesus. He said, no. This guy that is a thief that used to steal our things, release him, let him come and steal more things. But Jesus killed him. So, and then Jesus now comes and says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. I found that to be a little disturbing. Is Jesus delusional? Or is Jesus not facing the fact? Is Jesus just being churchy? Because, you know, church, we throw words around. Hallelujah, glory to God. How are you, brother? I'm blessed, highly favored. And sometimes you don't even know what you're saying. You just say so many things. It is well. It is. And sometimes it's not even it is well. It is. You know, they stress the IS and put SH and all of that kind of. It is well. Bless you. You know. You know, so we throw words around like that. So you would have thought that that's what Jesus is doing. No. That's not what Jesus is doing here. That's not what Jesus is saying. So my question this morning, or the answer I'm trying to provide this morning, is what do you do when love hurts? Because what Jesus was going through here was very hurtful. It was not hurtful only physically, but emotionally it was also hurtful. Because since the existence of the Godhead, which is forever, there has never been a time that there was a separation between the Godhead. There was never a time. Now, when Jesus was hanging on that tree, that was the only time there was a separation. That's why he said, Father, my Father, my Father, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because God, Jesus was now the embodiment of not only the present sin or past sin, was also the embodiment of future sin. And God, like scripture say, is of a purer eyes than to behold iniquity. So Jesus is sin personified, and God had to look away. So this is emotional hurt. This is not just human being abandoning him and killing him. This is also God of the universe saying, you're on your own now. And can I tell you the truth? I mean, yes, he was going to resurrect, but you see, this thing is all a process. And, you know, there was an humanity to Jesus when he was here on earth. So he could have thought, this process can fail. Is it possible I go to Hades and I'm abandoned in Hades? Because if you read later, the psalmist was saying this. He said, you did not leave my soul in Hades. Meaning that there was a possibility that maybe something would have gone wrong or something like that. Of course, you know, Jesus is Jesus, right? But there was humanity in Jesus. He could have messed it up. He could have fallen off. Something could have just happened. And then things would have gone the other way. So it was a risky move. It was a very, very risky move. And this risky move, the people that he was doing it for, they did not know it. So he was hurting. He was hurting. Like, I know some people listening to me this morning are hurting. You are hurting. Somebody said something. Somebody you least expected, they did something. After everything I have done for them, that child, she's so ungrateful, feeling entitled. That husband, after I have laid everything on the table, he's still asking for more. The one I gave him yesterday, he hasn't even said thank you. There are many wives that smile, but are hurting. There are many husbands that are doing Macho Man or Rambo. Which other strong person do you know? Mighty Eagle. You people don't know those ones. Okay. Whatever strong person it is. But they are hurting on the inside. Why? Because somebody close to them did something to them that was hurtful. You know, the dictionary defines hurt as to cause emotional pain or anguish. To cause emotional pain or anguish by words that were spoken, by things that were not done. He forgot my birthday. He forgot our anniversary. He forgot that. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. He didn't say sorry. All kinds of things, all kinds of reasons why people are hurt. And this morning, I am not pretending to say I understand the level of pain. I understand the level of hurt or what has transpired so far. But I am praying that God will heal you. I thought somebody would say a bigger amen. God will heal you in Jesus' mighty name. I know that some of us that are a little from African descent, we're a little stoic, meaning that sometimes we don't connect with our emotional self. We don't try to acknowledge that we are hurting. We just, it's okay, I'm fine. And we tell ourselves, we convince ourselves. But sometimes we're bottling up a lot of things. There are so many things buried under that smile. There are so many things buried under that. I come to church, I clap my hand. You know, there are so many things there. And I'm praying for you in this season that whatever is inside that is not right, whatever is cancerous, whatever is hurtful, whatever is bad that is on the inside, God will heal you. So to hurt means to cause emotional pain or anguish. But Jesus was hurting. And then Jesus uttered that word, Father, forgive them for they know what they are doing. So how do I move past hurt? How do I move? How can I resolve this hurt? How can I work around it? In fact, I want to make that person come and sit here. I want to talk to the person. I want to make them know what they've done for me. And sometimes in your mind, maybe you don't completely accept that thought. I want them to suffer. Yes, I'm like that. Sometimes I feel like, God, show them. Show them. You know, sometimes somebody will do something, you just feel like, after they just leave your presence, they should just fall down. Not die, but just have a touch of God. Amen. Let God just show them something, you know. Just scare them. Give them a scare. They don't come to you. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I won't do that again. You know, that's how we always feel. Or sometimes you feel like, because they've hurt me, things will not just go right for them today. But unfortunately, or not so nice, it seems like things now go very well for them. You just see them, you're like, she's still even smiling. Are you kidding me? Look at her. She has a new car. you just feel like, oh my God. When I'm suffering, and your husband, maybe it's your spouse, and the guy is laughing, he's flipping TV. He's like, see, look at him, he doesn't even get it. You know? Sometimes we feel like that. So how do we move past hurt? The first thing that you need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is focus on the Father. Can somebody say focus? Focus on the Father. Because you see, when it comes to hurt, when it comes to pain, when it comes to people doing things on you, the challenge and the thing the devil wants you to do is that you should focus on them. He wants you to remember what they did. He wants you to keep the focus on them. And can I tell you the truth? You cannot solve the problem by looking at the problem. You have to solve the problem by looking at the solution. Can somebody say amen? Amen. He wants you to look at them. Look at what they did. Okay, Pastor, I get what you are saying. I know you are going that route. I know. But you need to hear what they did. Do you know what they did? What they did is even criminal. It's a felony. You know, Pastor, you don't understand. This guy, I gave him everything. I gave him my life. I gave him everything. He ruined it. He squandered everything. He's worse than the prodigal son. If he squandered everything, I don't think I can make up for what he has done. That's what the devil wants you to do. Can I ask you a question? Since you have been focusing on them, have you been better? You can't. You won't get better. Because you get angrier and angrier. I mean, some things have happened to me before, and I will remember the thing. And by myself, I'll be answering and say, so you did this one. What about this one? Eh? You are saying I did this. You are having that conversation in yourself, and you are angry all over again as if it just happened. Fresh anger. You are just like, how can you? How can she? No. But Jesus here said, the first thing Jesus said, and he shows us how Jesus deals with hurt. Because if there was anybody that was hurt, that guy was hurt. Can you imagine Pastor Jesus? Pastor Jesus, yes.
In one day, every church member left. Nobody. In fact, one church member, they asked him, do you know Pastor Jesus? Me? Pastor E? I don't even know how to spell E. Pastor Jesus, I don't know anybody like that. And this is Jesus's biggest guy. His biggest fan. He said he didn't know. So imagine the level of hurt. And imagine that Jesus, the reason why the hurt of Jesus would be so hard is that Jesus can do something about it. He could do it. He was not helpless like you and I. You know, sometimes when somebody hurt you, really, sometimes you can't do anything about it. You're at their mercy. Jesus was not really at their mercy. Jesus, as he was still hanging on that cross, if he called a legion of angels, are you kidding me? They will be finished. Like some of us, we just say, by fire! Sometimes I'm like, Jesus. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you play some of these things in your mind. Sometimes you feel like, I want to be Jesus. I'll just look like a superhero, I'm telling you. Because I'll just go into one room, come out like this. You don't know that I've changed to my superhero clothes. You just say something like this, I'll just like this. Your nose will be like that. But Jesus, the Bible said, Jesus said, Father. Meaning that his focus was on the Father. He was not looking at them. Can I tell you the truth? If you look at people, you always see their flaws. People are people. We are all people. Can somebody say amen to that? The best of human beings are people, sir. Our human beings. They will do something bad. They will do something. I don't know anybody in your life now that has not done anything to hurt you. I don't know. Your spouse, if he has not done anything to hurt you, newsflash, he'll soon do it. It's coming. I'm just giving you preview now. It will come and it will hit you bad. You feel like, is that my wife? You know? Or your son, your children. Oh, my children, they will always listen to me. African father, African parent. One day the child says, Daddy, please, that's not for this generation. And you feel so bad. And you'll be hurt. The first focus Jesus did in this scripture, he focused on the Father. So your focus should not be on them, but focus on the Father. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 John chapter 4 and 16. The Bible says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. We rely on the love. We rely on the love in NIV. We rely on the love God has for us. That's how you can power through. You have to rely on the love God has for you. You have to look at him. Because what you look at, you look like. If you are looking at the hurt, you will look like the hurt. If you are looking at them and what they did to you, you will want to do it back to them. You want to revenge for yourself. And can I tell you, even if they do something that they should be punished and which God will eventually punish them, the best way to seek revenge is to look at the Father. I believe in justice. I believe that when people do bad things and something that the law needs to catch up with them, they should catch up with them. I believe in that. I am not minimizing anything. So if you've been abused or something like that, I believe that justice should be done. But if you focus on them, the person that wants to give you justice, you will leave him behind. Because God is the master judge. He can give you justice. So the Bible says we know. And we rely on the love that God has for us. So you focus on that love. And when you focus on that love, when you look at the Father, the next thing you need to do is receive the love of the Father. Receive that love into you. Let that love work on you. Let that love enter you. Open up yourself to the Father. There are sometimes people are looking at the Father. People are focusing on God. But they don't allow his love to work in. They compartmentalize their life. They almost say things like, that person, let's just leave that matter. And that's their disposition to God. They're almost like, God, well, on that matter, I will not receive your love. But you have to be willing to receive his love. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 27. John chapter 3 and 27. The Bible said, no man can receive anything except to be given. If you flip that up and you say it like this, no man can give what he has not received. If you want to give love, you must receive love.
The reason why the hurt sometimes persists is that some of us have not received love. You have not allowed the love of God to flow in. And for you to like, for the love of God to flow out of you, you have to receive it. And that's why sometimes, why even if you are crying, you can say, Father, I receive your love. There are some of us that we have grown up with a very bad father, with an absent father, with an angry father, with a father that, you know, just did not understand his role as a father, and we have missed taking that to look like God. No, sir. God is different. He's a different father. He wants to show you his love, and you should receive that love. I want somebody to say loud and clear this morning, say, I receive the love that God has for me. So Jesus said, Father. So focus on the Father. Receive the love of the Father. Let that love work on you. Let the love flow into your life, and it will now be able to flow. Then you'll be able to move to the next thing that Jesus said. Jesus says, Father, forgive them. Ah, it's a big word. Father, forgive them. You and I need to know this for a certainty. Forgiveness is always the will of God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Forgiveness is the will of God. Forgiveness is the will of God. Oh, what should I do to that person that has done this? Forgiveness is the will of God. So if you want to do the will of God on that issue, understand that forgiveness is the will of God. First, understand is the will of God. I will get to what we will do with forgiveness. But understand is the will of God. In any case, forgiveness is the will of God. Do they deserve it? No. Forgiveness is still the will of God. Are they prone to do some of the things that they have done before? Or are they still doing some of those things that they have done before? Yes, they may still be doing it. But forgiveness is the will of God. We need to come to that place where we settle the matter once and for all that forgiveness is the will of God. Can somebody say amen to that? Let me read this long scripture. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. From verse 27 to 38, but I'll skip some verses. I will do 27 to 30, and then I'll go to 32 to 38. The Bible says, but to you who are willing to listen, I say love your enemies. Eh? Pastor E, enemy must die. You don't get what, Pastor E, what are you preaching this morning? He said, but I say it to you who are willing to listen. I guess Jesus even knew that there were people who questioned this. That's why I say, I want to tell people who are willing to listen. And please, just listen to the end. I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Then the next one say, if someone slaps you on the cheek, offer them the next cheek. We'll get to that. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. Notice that. Even sinners, even people that don't come to church, even people that don't talk about Christ, they love those. There's nothing different about us if we only do things for people that love us. Now look at what God, the Bible has now started talking about God himself, you know. Even sinners do that. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies, from verse 32. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be great. Will be very great. And you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. Actually, this is New Living Translation. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. When I read that, I said, wow. God is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. Have you noticed that snow does not discriminate? Or rain? It does not just fall on good houses or good neighborhoods where they don't steal, where they don't do funny things. It is class action. It falls everywhere.
Why? Because God is kind, even to the wicked, to the people that are unthankful, some people that will be calling the name of God anyhow and pulling God into things that God is not even supposed to be involved in. He says, you must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, and it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Now, look at this scripture we usually read. Give, and it shall be given. Because we like this one. But the ones before this one, God, you are on your own on that one. Give, and it shall be given. So the give in this place is give to your enemy. It's not even give to church. Look at it. I mean, because that's how he started. He was talking about enemy, people that used you, people that did funny things. He said, give and you will receive. Your give will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Are you kidding me? But this is the order of the gospel. Sometimes I think the church, we are almost going to the order of Moses, where it's an eye for an eye. If they do me bad, I do them bad, 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 bad. If they slap me one, I slap them tap, 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 tap. Now, Jesus is not condoning abuse here. So if you are in an abusive relationship, somebody is beating you, and you say, but the Bible says I should turn another cheek. No. In fact, if you read this statement, let's even assume the Bible says you should turn around. The Bible is only acknowledging that it should happen twice. If it's more than two times, that person should be in jail. Because Jesus said, how many cheeks do you have? If they slap you one, turn the other one. And the other one, he didn't even say they will slap you. You just turn it. You can turn it away from them. Amen to Jesus. But Jesus is kind of not saying that you should be in an abusive relationship. The gist of the matter is this. Don't deal only with people you think are favorable to you. You will find yourself in unfavorable situations, but don't react to those people like they are. Don't let them bring you to their level. Because that's the whole point. They want to bring you to their level. And you want to now be acting like them. Oh, they did this to me. I want to do this to them. They talk back to me. And then I want to also talk back at them. I want to say bad things about them too. You are doing the same thing that they did. And that's the whole idea of the devil. He wanted you to get into their shoes. He wanted you to become like them. And do the same thing that you are doing. So Jesus is saying, look. Don't get into that game. You focus on what your Father wants you to do. God knows how to take care of business. Can somebody say amen to that? I had a story of a pastor, this week. He said they wanted to get a church. So when I had that story, I was a little disturbed. I was like, God, I don't want this one. He said they wanted to get a church. And the church was a very big church for them, at their size and their money they had. And they were $50,000 short of getting the church. Just somewhere along the line, the assistant pastor came to the pastor and just said, look, God is leading me to something else. God is calling me to do another church and all of that. And because the assistant pastor was a little older than the pastor, in a church, there are some people that they call heavyweights. Some people that give better than some people. Because of age, they've settled down. They don't have things that they are using money for, so they can give everything to church. So all the givers follow the big the assistant pastor. So the pastor was so troubled, he was so disturbed. He said one day he was just praying and God told him that, look, go to church and raise an offering for the assistant pastor. Tell them that we are going to give an offering and we are going to go and give it to the church. He said he told them in church. He said the offering he raised that day was the biggest offering ever in that church. He said he was so angry that this man is a bad guy. Or at least so to him, he did something that I don't like, and you people are now raising money. We say we want to buy church, you people didn't raise money. Now we say we want to give this man that has left, you are not. And this other church, we have already, in fact, they were like Victory House. So I started getting self-conscious. Because he said that they had left the old church. They had told themselves, this is our last service in your church. So I was like, what's going on here? God, don't let go this way out. So he said they had left their old church, so they didn't have a church. They needed that church, that new church. And God is saying, raise offering, and this offering is bigger than every other offering. So he said he went to give it to the pastor, this assistant pastor. He said when he went to him, he told him, he gave him the money. He said the guy didn't even say thank you. He said the guy just collected it and just turned back and just walked away. He said then the Holy Spirit told him to go and meet him and say, I love you. The Holy Spirit sometimes, sir, Jesus is Lord, amen. I mean, those are hard stuff. Some of these things are easier said than done. Even me as pastor, I can easily say it. Sometimes when I say some things, I'm like, who sent you that one? Because now you have committed yourself. You must do it too. Because some of these things I'm telling you, I need it to myself. Sometimes I'll say, go and say forgive. And I'm like, forgive? What about slap? Oh, my God. So he said he did that. And one day was worshiping. Notice that the church, they don't have a church again. They need the new church. Say we're just worshiping God. Somebody called his phone. It was like, should he pick up? He eventually picked up the phone. The person said to him that, is he in church? He was like, oh, these people again disturbed. Eventually agreed that he's in church. The person came. The person came and sat down in his office. I said, look, pastor, I've only been to this church once. He said, but God disturbed me this week. I said, I must come to you. He brought out his checkbook. He dropped it in front of the pastor. He said, God said, you need some money. Write the amount there. The pastor said, excuse me, sir. the amount I need, I should write. He said, but the amount I need is $50,000. He said, but the check is in front of you. Write it. So the guy was now getting a little bit like, what's going on here? He wrote the money. He said he first called the bank. The bank, I said, excuse me, I have a check from so-so company. The bank said they can't tell you, just professional services and all that. We can't tell you their balance. We can't tell you anything about them. But we know that if they gave you a check, bring it, we'll honor it. Before, 5 hours before the deadline, they were able to close that building. If you had not listened to God who said, forgive, do you know it would have stopped what God wanted to give back to him? Because when you forgive, you are giving something. And I like the word, the way they made the word is, you are giving before you receive. Is forgive. It's a fast forward something. You do it before it happens to you. Because many people are waiting that the other person sit down and say, I'm so sorry, I hurt you so badly. Many times it doesn't happen like that. Can I get an amen to that? Many times it doesn't happen like that. The people you need to forgive, many, many times they will not come and meet you and say, I'm sorry. Sometimes you would have forgiven them several years before they found out that they were wrong. And some of them may never find out. But God is saying from this scripture that we must learn to forgive. It's hard. I know. So we must know that the will of God is to forgive. And then the next stage, we must be willing. We must be willing. See, one of the things I have found out about God is this. If you are willing, God will help you. And you come to him and say, look, this is hard. This is hard. And I'm not trying to belittle your situation or condition, what happened to get you to where you are, that you are hurt about somebody doing something to you. But if you are willing, God can help you. There is nothing any human being has done to any human being that is unforgivable. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Several years ago, something happened in our family, and I was very hurt. I was a young boy, very, very hurt. I was like, man, this person wasted my emotions, wasted my resources. Oh, I'm old, I'm hungry, I'm crying and all of that. Then my grandmother comes and I was like, I don't want to talk. Then she tells me a story. When she finished the whole story, I can't go into the story for time's sake, but the story pretty much painted the worst kind of case that could have happened in that kind of scenario. And the person now told me that the person involved went to beg the offenders and said, please, me too, I want to have my own children. I forgive you. When I heard that, I was like, are these human beings or some written up people and spirits and all of that? But that thing did something to me. It showed me that there is nothing, absolutely nothing. There is no ground that you can, there's nothing. If you are willing. Can somebody say, I'm willing? So, even if Pastor E has offended you, amen to Jesus. Today I taught myself, I said, I'm not going to say Pastor E so that But I've said, Pastor, and I won't say more than that. Okay, all right?
So be willing to forgive, and he will make it available. In that scripture that we read, he said you should even pray for them. Can I tell you, how do I free myself from hurt? Prayer is good. Prayer, because at least with prayer, you don't need to be in their presence. You can cry out to God. You can say anything to God that happened. Oh, Lord, they hurt me like this. They did this. You can see all of that. You can cry, wail, do all of that, and then say, I pray for him. Pray for her. Pray for them. Prayer does amazing things. Prayer does so. So the first thing we said this morning is that when it is hurting, focus on the Father. The next thing we've said is forgive. Be willing to forgive. And now let's talk about them. Let's talk about them. Because it says forgive. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Let's talk about them. You need to understand that you can make excuses for them like you make excuses for yourself. Why are you still able to deal with yourself after you have left yourself down so long? All the New Year resolution you wrote in 2019, you've already messed them up right now. And this is still February. But you are still able to live with yourself. How? You make excuse for yourself. One of the common phrases in my house for the kids is that, I didn't do that on purpose. I didn't do it on purpose. And we tell ourselves that. You tell yourself that. I didn't do that on purpose. Why can't you make that same excuse for another person? They didn't do it on purpose. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. No, now know that Jesus is not delusional. And know that Jesus knew that they knew what they were doing. Because those guys knew what they were doing. It was a plot. It was not a fluke. They planned it. They betrayed him. They planned it. They so planned it that when they even said he resurrected, they said, like, it must not be resurrected. This guy must die and be dead and dead and dead. They even went to pay soldiers to say, look, they stole his body. Just so they were that angry at him. And Jesus is saying they don't know what they are doing. He's making excuses for them. Can I tell you, one of the best ways to live your life well is make excuses for others. Make excuses for people. Your wife, she just doesn't know. Don't let the people that come at them, she knows she's a wicked woman. Woman. I remember when I was going to get married, one senior uncle, somebody, said, woman, don't trust them. When I heard that, I just told my wife, I said, this person, never. Since that date in tomorrow, I have not talked to them. Because when people start talking like that near you, they spoil your mind. They don't let you make excuse for them. Say, oh, church people. Then they lift up hands and say, holy hand, that hand is bloody hand. It's bloody hand. Don't say, don't mind them. Pastor, I've seen pastor. This is my 10th church that I've been to. And all pastors are the same. Just like some people say, all men are the same. No, my husband is different. Tell yourself that. Now, and you are not trying to be, because let me tell you the truth. Happiness, joy, is a choice. You can just decide this is how I'm going to choose my joy. I will make sure that my wife, I won't let anybody get into my head, and even some of the things she does, I will just sweep it under the rug. Because when you do that, you just live a longer and happier life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Because if you focus on every single thing people do, you just kill yourself. You kill. You will not live long. Your BP will go like that. You know? I mean, sometimes when I'm sitting in front here, I'm looking at the back, oh, what's wrong with media and all that? Recently, God said, okay, relax. It's not your church. It's my church. If they don't know how to do it, it's okay. They also will get the blame. And if they don't get the blame, they put it on, it's okay. It's just one service. Just move on. And then before I knew, as I'm having that conversation in my head, they fix the problem. So you see that? They go back there and go and disappear. Oh, let me do it. Are you this? Relax. And so that's how some people deal with their life. Every small thing, they are very finicky. Oh, you remember yesterday, you put your toothbrush like this. Don't kill yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, relax. Don't take yourself too seriously. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. That's a good thing. Make excuses for people. Make excuses for your wife. And you know the truth of the matter. Sometimes
That's the truth. That excuse that you have made is the truth. Sometimes, especially people that are close to us, many of them don't intentionally want to hurt us. The way your husband spoke to you is not because he's sat down today and said, today, I will press a button. I will hurt my wife. In fact, he's going from work. I'll do that. It's not that. He's not planning to hurt you. Or the pastor comes to the book and says, today, there are three brothers. I'm going to hurt them. Because some people are like, what he just said is my story. He didn't come there to hurt you. He didn't. Most times he didn't. I believe some people may come and be very vicious and say, I must hurt that person. With my message this morning, I will speak to them. No, most people don't do that. But even if he did that, still make excuse for him, at least for your own sake, for your own self. The Bible said when it comes to malice, we should be like children. Children, have you seen children fight before? I mean, the other day you were asking me that, how I deal with my kids and fighting. It's like cat and dog. If they don't see themselves, where is this person? And when they see themselves, it is fight. And I'm like, what's going on? And that fight is, they'll fight over this thing, they'll make up, fight sometimes over the same thing that they've made up about, they fight. But they don't keep record of something that has been done for days. No. Immediately they forgive themselves, immediately they move on. We should be like that. Can somebody say amen to that? And lastly, this morning, when you are focusing on them, you may not put yourself in that position to be hurt again. I need to put that caveat there. Jesus died only once. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. I mean, you should have been coming down ever since I'm saying, let me die again. No, he just died once. So you don't have to put yourself in a position where hurt has to happen again. But because you are not putting yourself in that position does not mean you should not forgive. If you are in an abusive relationship, you can have tough love and love them from afar, but you still forgive them. Can somebody say amen to that? Sometimes you may need to change the environment, but your disposition should still be that I will let the person go. Because you see, when you forgive people, you discover that what you have done is that it's not them that you released. You are the one that has released yourself. Because every time you hold on to people, you are stealing something from yourself. You are less than the fullness of who God has made you. So they are getting an upper hand. They are even getting more than what they have done. Because the action is an action that's gone. But now, after the action, they are still having impact on you. So what do? Let them go. They are not worth it. Oh yes, my husband, my former husband, my former friend, my former boyfriend, my former girlfriend, he did this. Let her go. Let him go. My boss, let him go. Former pastor. Pastor E, let them go. Amen. As we are leaving 5933, let it go. Look at somebody and say, let it go. I want you to bow down your heads this morning.